Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Beis, the second chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And in contrast to the first Perek, which is very esoteric, long, complex, the second Perek is short and seemingly simple. It is only 9 psukim long, and it is really made up of two sections. The first is the initiation of Yechezkel, and the second is what's called Megillas Sefer. We're going to see that episode in just a moment. So at the beginning, remember that what had happened at the very end of the first parak is after Yechezkel has this appearance of God, he sees this northerly wind coming, the storm coming, he sees a celestial vision. The skies open, he sees a celestial vision of what's called Merkava, the sort of the chariot of God supported by all these angels coming in and the presentation of, so to speak, this divine image which he perceives as a human being. He falls on his face upon seeing the final radiance of this refracted rainbow of energy that's emitted from it, and he falls on his face. So this parak picks up from there. This is the prophecy he hears in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time. So he is told, Ben Adam, Amoida Rol Glecha, stand up, because remember he's collapsed when he's seen this vision. So Hashem tells him to stand up and speak to him. And Vatavoi Biruach Kashir Dibere Laiva Tamdeni Al Raglai Vashma Es Mida Bere Line. So I hear the voice speaking to me. He has his mission. The mission is Sholeach Ani Eko, again, the voice calls in Ben Adam, son of man, Sholeach Ani Oscho El Bnei Yisrael El Goyim Hamordim Asher Morduvi. I'm sending you to Israel, to the children, to the nations who are rebelling against me. They, their fathers, have continued to go against me. They're strong at heart. They don't listen to what I have to say. And Vehemo Im Yishmu Vimechdolo Kibes Meri Hemo. They're completely a house of rebellion. Vyodu ki novi hoyab sechom. They should know that a prophet was among them. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures him that they will not harm him. They won't kill him. They are like thorns. They're going to be like scorpions. But you should not worry about them, because although they rebel, they're not going to kill you. This is the first stage of this perek. Just before going into the next stage of the perek, just a few the notes to think about. Number one is, again, as we've noticed, and as we noted in the introduction to Sefer Yechezkel, he is almost always called Ben Adam, son of man. Why is he called this appellation? So Rashi, commenting at the very beginning of this parak, says it's to differentiate him from the celestial vision he just saw. Meaning to say, he just witnessed what goes on in the metaphysical realm. So there's no place for human beings there. So to differentiate him from what he has seen, he is called Ben Adam, human. He is a human, is very separate from this experience. But Rashi says more practically, Velinera says Rashi, that it's to humble him. Is, you know, you think because you see this, you're so fancy. Well, Ben Adam, you're just a regular human being. It's putting him in his place. The Abarbanel, Rav Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, has an incredible insight where he says maybe it's Ben Adam, literally the son of Adam HaRishon, the son of Adam, the first human being. Why? Because Adam also was a person who was ejected from his natural habitat after sin. He was a person who had to leave Gan Eden. So too, Yechezkel is that, so to speak, this mournful person, the person who is ejected in the Golus Yechonia, who is now trying to correct not just his own ways, but the ways of the people around him. And so he's always this child, this, so to speak, this metaphoric child of Adam HaRishon. Who is he being sent to? So it seems pretty clear that the people he's being sent to are to the Goyim Hamardim, these nations who are rebelling against you. What does that mean? So Rashi, the Mitzvot David, will point out that these, the two nations, the minimum of two nations are Yehuda and Binyamin, the southern kingdom who is still remaining in the land of Israel at this point in time. The Beis HaMikdash has not been destroyed, so they are the prime target of his prophecies. The Radak points out that it's a little more complex than that. And that is that there's really two audiences that Yechezkel could be speaking to. Audience number one, of course, is the people in Bavel, the people around him and around who he's speaking to. And the number two is the people in Israel. How would the people in Israel get the message? The Radak says, well, people would send letters. So meaning to say that his sermons, his speeches would be sent in letter form to the people in Israel, which is fascinating because Yirmiyahu is there right now speaking to them. Not everybody's listening to Yirmiyahu, but perhaps they're going to listen to the news bulletin that's coming through from the Babylonian Jews. That's what another aspect of Yechezkel's mission over here. So when we're listening to it, we're going to have to listen to differentiated audiences. We're going to have to think about the two separate sides. Why is it important that they should know that a Navi was sent to them? Why is that? At the end of Pasuk Dalad, or at the end of Pasuk Hey, So the Malbim says a very beautiful thing, and it says this is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, trying to, you know, get rid of liabilities and make sure everybody knows that that they were warned. It says the Malbim, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to know that even though they sinned and even though they've gone so far, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still holding them accountable for their actions. You see, one of the mistakes that people sometimes make is they say, I'm so far gone, who really cares? And then that makes them sin even further. So the Malbim says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying over here, through Yechezkel, understand something. Even though you've done so many bad things, I still care. You're still accountable. It matters. I love you. That's what Hashem is really saying. The end of the parak is really three psukim ches to the last pasuk in Yud over here, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that you're going to eat petzei picha ve'echol, eat what I'm going to give you. And what does he give him? Not food, but he opens up a Megillah Sefer, a scroll. He spreads out the scroll and it's written front and back, kosov olea, written in it, kinim vehege vahi. Which is hard to translate exactly what that means. The Mitzuras means that explains that it's referring to sort of punishment and kina and the mournful destruction that's about to happen. Whereas Rashi says no. What's being talked about over here is why is it written per face and back? Because it's referring to what's happening now in time and what's going to happen in the future in time. Things you can see, things you can't see. And it's not talking about necessarily just the destruction which is imminent. It's referring to theodicy. How is it? Puranos shel tzadikim ba'olam hazeh is kinam. And the punishment of good people in this world. And Vehege is Matan Schoran Shiranu Alav Le'asidava, the great reward they're going to have in the future, which is on the other side of the scroll. The Nehi Shal Rishayim Lo'alam Abo, is the pain that the Rishayim will suffer in the world to come. Meaning to say, Yechezkel giving them the tools to understand why it looks like good people are suffering and bad people are prospering. Why are the Babylonians succeeding? Why are these great Jews being taken to exile? How does this work? This is the Megillah, this is what this is explicating. Why is he eating it? Out of all things, tell it, speak of it, dictate it, re-eat it? Why is he eating it? So the Mitzvot David says, the reason is that it should be well-versed in his mouth, it should be clear to him, it's metaphoric. Whereas the Malbim says, no, it's even more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be that when he expresses this, it's not like a person who's saying, you know, I was told to tell you that you should be more careful. No, like food, when a person eats food, it's integrated into their body, it goes into their bloodstream. So this is what the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. He wants that his rebuke is going to go straight into the bloodstream of Yechezkel. So when Yechezkel says these things, he actually owns it and people will listen because they hear the passion as Yechezkel reaches out to him. This is going to be a flow on to the next parak as we see the outcome of this particular episode of, we'll call it, demonstrative prophecy. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.